For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to Tuesday. I hope your week's shaping up. Now, we are going to get into the whole Trump indictment saga, as Patrick Henningsen just promised. We'll never let this die. Kidding. We'll be getting into that during the news cycle with Dede Denslow. But first, I want to take you back to Kiev and what's going on there, because it's very, very serious. Now, the priests at the monastery in Kiev, where they're kicking everybody out. Now, keep in mind, this thing is over, it's like 1,000 years old. They're actually tear gassing the priests as they're giving a service and parishioners. They lobbed in tear gas, waited, priests came out, and they bolted them out and locked the doors behind them and arrested them. This is what's going on. And keep in mind, this is religion. This is Christianity. And, you know, I make no bones about it. It is the oldest denomination on the planet, literally. When you look at the history of Christianity, it was codified by Constantine in the 4th century. Now, does the history go all the way back to Jesus on the cross? Yes, it does. But we're looking at the history of Christianity itself, the religion. This is incredible. The fact that it's happening in real time in front of our eyes. And the reason is this. There are a couple things in life that people hold precious. The first, family, religion, country. In America, you know, people start talking in this type of circle. It's God, family, country. Well, what Ukraine is doing is taking away all three from very specific people. And these are people that disagree with the politics of Volodymyr Zelensky and the Ukrainian Rada. Over the last 2 years, if you've been paying attention, and we've been talking about it quite a bit on this show, these policies are outflows from Kiev back to the Western countries, and the Biden administration really isn't shy about picking this stuff up. Now, what do you hold dear next to religion in terms of your social life, in terms of community life? It's politics. So if you can take something as closely held as religion and make it apostasy on the basis of a political decision, what can you do to politics? Which is what Joe Biden's doing right now. This whole saga wrapped around Donald Trump is about that. End of this. Now, I talked about a girl yesterday that was praying in front of the monastery on the street, and the Ukrainian national circled there. They started taunting her, calling her names, dancing around her, et cetera, like little nationalist, you know, hobnail boot kiddies, scouts, right? She was a mother, had a small child. After she left there, somehow or other, I think, now this is the story, and I'm verified whether or not this part is true. RT contacted her, did an interview, and she's disappeared. The odds are whether or not she did that interview is that the SBU picked her up. And she hasn't been seen by her family, hasn't been home to her baby. This is very, very serious stuff. Essentially for praying that the government will not outlaw the Christian faith and closer church to the parishioners, this woman might already be dead. This is politics today. And keep in mind, this is politics. In its wake, Zelensky has legitimized what was, until he was elected, an apostate church. It had been called apostate since its inception in like 1919. And it was called apostate by the priests and the bishops that it raised up its ugly head in. Can you imagine a religion that makes state the god? A leader like Joe Biden, the figure of Christ in the state. That's the Christianity that Zelensky wants for Ukraine. And it's entirely political. It's very, very serious because, well, American and European leaders are lapping this up, because if they can make it work there, they can make some form of it work at home. And we'll get into Donald Trump in a few minutes, and you'll see why. Now, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Well, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Your news when you need it.
They cover the important story.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And the illustrious producer and TNT talk show host, Dede Denslow, is in the house. Dede, how are you today?
I'm very well, George. It's a beautiful sunny day in Plymouth, and I'm here listening to you talking about the political situation in Ukraine, and I am actually myself literally today now embarking on my own little one-month-long political journey in the local elections here in Plymouth. But I'm pretty sure I won't be trying to make myself a godlike figure or a religious-like figure for the local state here. How are you, George?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. It's actually sunny here too, not a cloud in the sky.
Good.
Snow melted, and we're going to talk all things Donald Trump indictment today. Where are we starting, Dede?
Oh, we'll start with sort of the latest story that I sent to you, which was more than 30 counts in the indictment have been classified as potential felonies. Donald Trump, former U.S. president, is facing a total of 34 criminal charges over his alleged role in paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. And I actually thought that this hush money business, this payment, had actually already been resolved in a previous court case. And please correct me if I'm wrong, George.
The whole thing was actually judged. The Election Commission and the DOJ said there's nothing there to prosecute. There's no crime. And so what's going on is beyond crazy.
Yeah. Alvin Bragg, a man who has received approximately $1 million in donations from everyone's favorite philanthropist, George Soros. Alvin Bragg has bumped up all the charges to a Class E felony. And I did actually have to go and have a look to see what a Class E felony was. It says here on Google, Class E felonies are a type of lesser felony. They are called Class E because of the crime committed, its severity, and its related punishments. For example, a Class A felony would be akin to premeditated murder, whereas a Class E felony might just be something like an assault with a deadly weapon. So it's still fairly serious, a Class E felony, but obviously I suspect that's the most serious that this Alvin Bragg, the district attorney from Manhattan, was able to bump these charges up. The activities are regarded as misdemeanors. The charges were elevated to potential felonies as the prosecutors believe that Trump could have intended to conceal another underlying crime. As a result, the ex-president could face a prison term of up to 4 years, though this is considered extremely unlikely. No one gets jail time for that, as a first offender, said a New York law enforcement official. So the indictment is yet to be unsealed. I think I heard Patrick say that they were going to be unsealed, or Trump was going to be in court about 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm guessing that's sort of 2 to 3 hours away. I haven't got the world clock in front of me, the EST times. It seems to me we can have this as a launching place for the conversation that the establishment in the USA seemed determined to get Trump re-elected in 2024. Would that be a sort of a sensible and quite obvious thing to say about this whole scenario, George?
Well, what they're trying to do is to push Trump supporters in middle America into violent protests so they can declare them to be terrorists of state. Enemies of the state, and do it openly. They want Trump to run, yeah. Now, will this lead to a Trump win? Most definitely. But it's not the effect that they actually want. They want to out leaders, organizers, people that can actually mold groups together that are going to protest against the current government, people that can rise up as candidates later on. They want to identify these people now. Now, you know, if they do that and they start making mass arrests, what's going to happen is that the they're going to try to drive the support down for Trump. As long as they can say he's indicted, if they can get a mugshot of Donald Trump and use that as a Democratic election, use that photo as, you know, this is the poster child why you should vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. They think they actually have a chance with this. And Biden can get reelected. But, you know, we'll see.
How can they not know, though, George, that actually let's just like park the response of the MAGA crowd, the people who support Trump. How can the establishment, the Democrats and the Biden administration, not know that by doing this, knowing that it's going to be thrown out of court, it probably won't even go through any sort of legal process, that every other attempt to diminish the credibility and the standing of Donald Trump has failed, whether it's the multiple impeachment attempts, Russiagate. We've already seen Stormy Daniels go around a few times, but then she does do that because that's her job, isn't it, going around few times.
Exactly.
How can the establishment not know that all they are doing is really putting rocket fuel into Donald Trump's election campaign and almost certainly guaranteeing him a win? Are they that deluded? Do they live in such an information bubble that they don't see this? Or are they only really interested? They don't care if he wins, because if he wins, they've got somebody to blame on the disaster that has been the Democratic administration in the USA over the last 4 years, or will be 4 years when Trump gets elected. And are they really, really just ultimately interested in targeting his supporters?
Well, if you look at the last, since 2016, when they started trying to get this together at Trump's inauguration, you've got Antifa and BLM. Now, they brought out the stormtroopers for 2020. All right. They tried to organize it in 2016. It wasn't together yet. They're thinking in those terms. We're doing this, and they're projecting this on middle America. Well, that's what they'll do, because we know this, because that's what we do. And they haven't got the common sense or decency left to realize that most of America are law-abiding people. They've been sitting and waiting for justice to prevail. And it's kind of like what, you know, I think you brought it up yesterday, what Pelosi said. He has to prove his innocence. No, he doesn't. You have to prove his guilt. Mm-hmm. That's just how the Democrats today think. So they can accuse you of murdering George Washington. And what? You have to prove you didn't do it? You didn't go back in a time machine and kill a guy that died of old age? How can you do that?
Yeah. I mean, there's some trying to force me into a corner a bit, but it's so obviously going to backfire that I can't help from sitting afar. So, you know, on the other side of the pond thinking that they must know it's going to backfire. They must know that. There must be somebody in their think tanks who are making these decisions or playing out scenarios and wargaming what will happen if they get Donald Trump arrested and put up on these trumped up charges. They must know it's going to backfire. If they don't,
well,
why not?
Do they, though?
Yeah, that's, wow.
Hold on. Do they? Here's the thing. Look at January 6th. I have two occasions, two of the break-ins. That's two out of three break-ins. Now, I couldn't find evidence on the third, so I don't know. But two out of the three were committed by literally Ukrainian nationalists from Ukraine. There was Ukrainian TV following them. They were talking Ukrainian. They were pushing people into the windows. Where's that in the media? You can see it on video. You can listen to it on video. Now, who got nailed for that?
So,
who got impeached for that? Who? Donald Trump. So if they do another false flag like that because he's indicted, people start protesting. All they have to do is line up the same people. And, you know, the FBI in 2020 stopped Ukrainian nationals from going into the country because they were committing crimes. Okay? They were worried about terrorist acts. So they put a stop on it, a hold on that from happening. They're already there. So you have the willing manpower there. They want to destroy Donald Trump's chances of any type of comeback, and they want to keep Biden in. And that's exactly what's going on there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back in a few minutes.
You should hear what Steve Hook is talking about.
Once again today, no indictment of President Trump.
Bob Costello revealed a whole bunch of damaging info on Michael Cohen, as you may recall. And that kind of lit just a firestorm. Everybody's going nuts like, oh my God, this completely destroys the case against Trump. And my point is, what case was that? You mean it stops the witch hunt? This thing is turning to ash and wisps of smoke right before Bragg's eyes. So bad so that even the histrionic Randy Weingarten, she's with the NFT, I think, National Federation of Teachers Union president. She said that even mentioning the fact, now this is a woman, by the way, who is supposed to be representing what? Well, yes, representing the union, but representing students, right? That's what they tell us anyway. So if that's the case, then why in the ever-loving hell is this woman commenting on people criticizing Alvin Bragg? She said that anybody that mentions that Alvin Bragg was supported by George Soros is anti-Semitic. I mean, you just really and truly cannot make it up with these people.
Steve Hook and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Hear about it.
I don't even know where to start with AOC.
Talk about it.
The stupidity of this administration.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back. Didi Denslow had to run, but we're going to keep on with this because it's a very important discussion. Now, he mentioned the fact that they're going to bump up all the charges to Class C felonies. And consider the fact that there was no crime committed. There was no original crime here. Everything done was legal. And Stormy Daniels has admitted once that she never had an affair with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has said over and over again that he paid hush money because this woman was trying to drive a wedge in his family, and he just wanted her to stop, to cease, desist, shut up. It was worth the money to him. Now, his lawyer paid this. He paid back his lawyer. None of this is a crime. This is why the feds and the election commission, now if the election commission could have gone after him, they would have. You can believe that. They couldn't find anything. So they're bumping all this up to Class C felonies. Well, what's it mean? What kind of crimes? Now, the other part of this, no one gets jail time for the first as a first offender, a New York law enforcement official told the outlet. No one goes to jail for this at all. If his name wasn't Donald Trump, we wouldn't be here right now. So what are the crimes? Now, when they started boiling all of this down, what it's going to bear on is that it's a statute barring conspiracy to promote or prevent elections. And some experts say that Trump may have violated that. Well, what's it mean? That the money that he legally paid Stormy Daniels influenced the election somehow. And Donald Trump has said, and quite frankly, I believe him, he would have paid that money whether or not he was running for office because he needed to protect his family, his marriage. And quite frankly, I'm good with that. Here's the other crime, and this is what should really make your antenna stand up. Now, there's a catch-all statute that they're going after him with in New York Code for election violations. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? It's for crimes not specifically covered elsewhere. Which means they can, it's not crimes. Sorry. It's election violations not specifically covered elsewhere. You can literally decide anything is a violation. And it's not covered elsewhere. So if it's not in law that it's a crime, they could make standing in line a violation of election law. It's an election violation, you stood in line to vote. It's an election violation that you didn't close the curtain all the way to vote. It's an election violation that you asked for a paper ballot. It's an election violation that you decided to show them your ID to prove who you are so you could vote. And so on and so on and so forth. It's an election violation that you had breakfast before you went and voted. This is crazy. If they actually had anything tangible on him, would they be pulling up something like this? This is happening. What kind of case would a district attorney use something like that on? Someone that he was trying to railroad. See, it doesn't have to be Donald Trump. Honestly, if this was Hillary Clinton, we'd be having the same conversation. And I don't like Hillary Clinton. Clinton was, wow. But there's a simple fact and practice here. If the government can go after a candidate, whether it's local, state, or federal, just because they're running, or in this case, a man who is a sitting president who is a leading candidate for the office, again, in the next election, just because they can, they go after him. Where does that leave the rest of us? There is no justice. There is no law. There is no anything. And you're in a position where you have to prove your innocence. What Nancy Pelosi said turns out it wasn't a faux pas. Her tweet wasn't. Donald Trump needs to prove his innocence. If you have to argue in court election violations that are not specifically covered elsewhere, how do you answer that? Do they even have to say what it is that they're putting you on trial for at that point? And let's say that, you know, they see the jury doesn't believe them, it's not credible enough, even though they want to. Well, they can just move the bar and do another one in the same trial. Why not? Why the hell not? We'll just keep moving the bar. Eventually, someone will fall asleep, and then we'll get this done. What this does to American society is incredible. The shift that's being done openly. And that's why when Didi was saying, it's almost like the establishment wants Trump to win in 2024. And why I rebutted that with, they're trying to make everybody terrorists. That stands against what's going on with this indictment and what may end up being the trial of the century so far for a crime that is not a crime. If they can get people out into the streets to protest, they can bring their own people up to set up violence, the illegal stuff. And that's why I pointed out J6. And we're not talking about conspiracy theory. My God, it's on video, for God's sake. You can sit there and watch it and listen to it and, you know, not take anybody's word for it. Look yourself. No one talks about the Ukrainians that they caught either. Nobody does. Nobody knows what happened to them. They're probably in Florida at Zelensky's mansion right now, enjoying the high life. Now, what they want to try to focus on is charges that Trump was falsifying business records. But just bumping that up from a misdemeanor to a felony may prove difficult, is what they're saying. These are legal observers. But they've already done that. They're bumping everything up to a Class E felony, which is 1 to 4 years in prison if you're convicted. the number of charges they have. Now, they're going after him for 6 or 7 specific transactions. And they've got, what did he say, 35 counts? And they're saying, well, if 20 of them, you know, hold up enough to, you know, go to trial with, then, you know, that's a good thing. They're throwing spaghetti against the wall at this point. And, you know, you don't have to be a Trump supporter. If you think about, if you're a Democrat, what this means the next election. What this means for a Democratic candidate going forward, every Democratic candidate going forward. This ends everything that we know as we know it in politics at this point. And we're only playing a game. Going this far after everything else, up to this point, I've been saying, look, you know, forget about the whole revenge thing. We need to get politics back to a point where it's just dysfunctional and it's working. And I've talked to a lot of people, you know, who've been watching this and following this the whole time. And, you know, there came a point after January 6th where they started talking about wanting political revenge. They want to do this to us, we'll do it to them. After this, can you say they're wrong? Now, that doesn't help the country at all. It certainly doesn't. It, quite frankly, will probably be the end of it. We start playing tit for tat, tit for tat, but it has to end somewhere. And how does it end? And that's the interesting part of this. Is it a political solution or is it politics by other means? Civil insurrection? That's what Joe Biden wants. You see, back in 2014, when Viktor Yanukovych was bringing out special police units to quell the violence at the Maidan, what you called the protest of dignity, when it turned into a coup, the U.S. was saying, you have to let them be, you have to let them be, you have to let them be. The violence, violence, violence. Why? Because the violence was on the side they wanted it on. But as soon as people started protesting peacefully in other regions like Odessa, like Kharkiv, like Donetsk, like Lugansk, like Kherson, like Mariupol. Mariupol was very key against what was going on in 2014. Then they were all for violence by the government. So we've had the Antifa and BLM violence, and they're promising it's coming back again, and that was fine. And now if conservatives, libertarians, and other groups that are just plain sick of what's going on in the country, watching it being destroyed in front of their faces, stand up and protest, just protest under the law, civil protest, it gives the Biden administration an excuse to come down like a stack of bricks on them. And this is what they've been pushing. The situation, it all has to revolve around Trump, because they've already built up enough of a narrative. They feel they have the momentum to do it. And they know one thing. In America today, he is the one guy, the single candidate, and was the single president, and hopefully will be again, that can turn us around. And it's not just because he's an outside guy. It's he actually gives a damn about the country, about the welfare of the people. What's the country need? Hey, we need to be energy self-sufficient, right? Well, that was a good thing, right? And, you know, will he do that? Won't he do it? Will he do it? He did it. The country needs an economy. The people need to work. Will he do it? Won't he do it? Well, he did it. The country needs to mind its own business and stay out of wars. Well, that's a big one for an American, right? Will he do it? Won't he do it? He was the only president that didn't start a war in anybody's memory that's alive today. The only one. But we don't like his tweets. Which, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, over here, it's pretty entertaining. But, you know, when you see somebody like Trump and you see the North Korean leadership going head to head, calling each other names, and then all of a sudden they're talking, laughing together and having a barbecue, it's a little different than, you know, Obama or Biden or Bush before him talking civilly about North Korea and threatening to nuke them. Almost starting a world war on the Korean Peninsula. Why? Because China is the guarantor of peace. China will protect North Korea. That's what's keeping the peace over there. They're stopping North Korea from doing a forcible reunification or trying to. And they're keeping South Korea honest from trying to do the same. Now we see China coming out with, I mean, the peace treaty between Iran and Saudi Arabia still blows my mind. It is just so mind-boggling. Because, you know, what we talked about earlier, you know, you have God, country, family. Well, these are the two seats of, you know, Christianity would be papacies for Islam. And they have always been at war, and now they're not. It's an incredible thing. And it's incredible because this agreement may single-handedly cut down on Islamic terrorism. Now, Islamic terrorism is, it's not based in the Quran. It's based in Western philosophers, most notably the Italian fascists. Yeah, they quote Italian fascists a lot easier than they quote the Quran, which is just mind-boggling, right? Well, not really. They're all these fascists run in the same groups. They all read the same thinkers. And we see that today with this indictment, the same thought openly in America again. And how many examples of this do we need? Now, I'm going to leave you that question while we take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is TNT Talk Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
NASA has announced that the sea surface temperatures globally are now above 21°C. This is the first time that this has been recorded. They have no argument from me. I'm the guy that's been saying the oceans are warming, and they are warming not because of the atmosphere warming the ocean or CO2's effect on the atmosphere. And I'm just curious as to when people are going to quit swallowing the line that it is man-made climate change that's causing the ocean to warm. Now, I'm open-minded, and maybe that is happening. But completely ignoring what's going on with things like seismic activity at the bottom of the ocean and geothermal venting that's putting heat into the oceans seems to me to be ignoring what could be an answer, and an answer they don't want to see. Given the WEF and ESG policies that are evolving, it's a runaway train. And even if I'm right, people are going to try to stop it and stop the examination of what could be a natural cause. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi. Ask a U to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Big tech companies are notorious for censoring inconvenient views. Any search for a contested topic online, Google and other search engines almost invariably rank the most politically correct views higher. Social media giants will de-platform anyone upsetting the globalists' agenda, even if they are the US president. Big tech employs so-called fact-checkers who attempt to discredit highly qualified experts not towing the establishment line. But when government officials make indisputable errors, the fact-checkers are nowhere in sight. The London-based fact-checking organization Full Fact has worked with big tech giants including Facebook, Google, and Twitter. Full Fact's head of communications, Ross Haig, was formerly head of communications of the Behavioral Insights team, the notorious Nudge Unit, which employ psychological techniques to manipulate public behaviors and attitudes.
No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. So we've looked at it from this side of it, okay? From, all right, they're coming after us side of it. Now, let's take the average person on the other side of it. First of all, do they look in the mirror every day and think about what kind of evil they can commit, how they can destroy their country, or how can they can devalue their countrymen's lives? Do they do this? Or do they actually almost look at this as a holy crusade? Do they think they are right? And not just right, by the way. They think they're just. And they think that this orange man, this Donald Trump, has to go to jail no matter what. He has to be stopped because that's the end of the world if he gets in, damn it. Don't you know anything? Don't you know? And my brother Michelle is going into the Olympics and she's going to be, yeah. They think that's good too. They literally think, and it's not, you know, we have this disconnect in society now. What is good and bad? I mean, you know, you've had groups plucking at this for, you know, a generation or so, you know, disassociating people with community values, with valuing community, we'll say. Well, so you have these people, and if you're not part of that scene, this progressive scene, it's very alien. And you sit there and you scratch your head. How could you believe a guy is a gal and a gal is a guy? And, well, that one's a dog and this one says she's a cat. And take it seriously. But they actually do. They think it's okay. That is what we're up against. So when you talk to people about, look, this is what is going to happen. This is what's going on in society. This is fascism. They'll say, no, Donald Trump is a fascist. Why? How do we know? Well, Joe Biden said so. Well, if we look at the basic definition of a fascist or a nationalist, and I know Donald Trump has played this whole thing and, you know, oh my God, it just, you know, it makes my life a lot more difficult to unwind these things because it goes back to, well, the guy said he's an American nationalist. Nationalists start with the state is God. Therefore, the state is perfect. You cannot change the state. The leader is Christ. If Donald Trump was a fascist, okay, or a nationalist, because they go together. It's pretty much interchangeable. And fascism is not far right, damn it. It sits side by side with socialism. Giovanni Gentile, the author of Fascism, said it was the highest socialism. It was, finally, we perfected socialism. Here it is. We call it fascism. That's what it is. Okay. And it, you know, essentially what it did was, you know, give hands out to the very, very rich people too. You know, you can't forget those guys. Instead of taking their money away, we give them money too. Give them most of the money and let them do it, deal with it. Now, so if the state is perfect, you can't change the state. If the leader is the figure of Christ on earth, he's perfect. Joe Biden is perfect. Now, if you look at it from a Democrat Party point of view, now we're talking the same language. This is what they think. So if the nation is perfect in what they're doing, even though they're destroying it, you can't change it. You cannot alter perfection because it becomes imperfect at that point. And it's not the country that was perfect. It was the Democratic Party's vision of the country that was perfect. And that's what we're looking at. So it has a religious connotation to it. And this is very, very real. It's not, you know, it's not a thought game. It's not something, okay, well, geez, here's something to chew on for the next day or so. This is what's happening in real time. Now, if that's the case, so you have God, you have the figure of Christ in the leader. Where's the church? The church is the political party, the people that support the leader, and therefore they are the supporters of the state, believers in the state, and everybody outside of them are heretical and apostate. This is actually how this stuff is written up, by the way. So if you ever wonder why it always seems that these real, for lack of a better term, jackoffs like Adolf Hitler come up and it's almost religious, well, it's because it is. But it's a political religion. Literally, it replaces your religion. If you're a Christian, Muslim, Jew, this replaces that. And you can have an abrogated form of your faith inside of that, but it's first nationalist. All right? So you have that view. And from the inside, these people are looking at it. They're good. They're righteous. They're holy. They're right. They're just because they're handing out justice for people that are oppressed and have been oppressed for so long, damn it. And they create oppression just to, you know, say they fixed it when they don't. They'll create more oppression, create a new class of people dependent on them and then don't. You know, don't fix it. Just make them, take them on, give them a handout. And these handouts aren't without a prize. Because now you're stuck in that cycle, and if you ever leave it, now you're apostate. And what do religions do with apostates? What do religions do with heretics? We went through, you know, on this planet a whole season of, you know, let's burn the witches. Let's kill the heretics. Let's do this. And it's geared, and it has been for the last, it started 200 years ago in a little place that's actually in West Ukraine right now, believe it or not. But this politics of religion, or religious politic or political religion, however you want to, you can call it anything you want in that, is as real and fanatical as ISIS ideology, IGIL ideology, Nazi ideology. It's all basically the same thing. It's as real. It is as heartfelt and meaningful to the participants as maybe your faith is to you. And will they live and die for it? Well, now you know why. See, they may not label it a religion, it's politics, but it's the connotations of it, the way it's presented, the way that it's preached. It's not just talked, it's not talked about. It's not ideas anymore or ideals anymore. It's sermonized. It's always, always going to be, when you hear, you know, there's no compromise, it's because they have attained a perfection on this, you know, those particular points. Now, what about normal people? I mean, should you compromise with this type of thought? Oh, hell no. That's what got us here in the first place. This type of thought, if there's anything, political thought that needs to be outlawed, this is it. Political conversation, yeah, this is it. And you can see what it's doing in real time. So what about these people? Can you convince them otherwise? No, you can't. So what do you do with them? The first thing is that, well, they need to be put out of policy positions altogether. They need to sit outside of power for a little while, which means you need to get out and vote. You need strong candidates. You need people that understand what the stakes are. And the fact that the policy seats in every government have been filled with these people. And, you know, I've talked to some guests on this show, and it was the most excellent idea I never thought of. Term limits for the policymakers too, damn it. All these bureaucrats, term limits. And he gave the reason why. These are people that couldn't make it in business, so they chose government because, yeah, they may do that particular function, but they're not exactly the choicest person for the job. If you do term limits, we can at least revolve it around so there's no graft involved, or it's a lot less. And it becomes more representative of the people themselves and what the people want. Now, you know, even as a conservative, you notice what I'm saying, what the people want, not, you know, what the conservative wants, because it takes all of us to make countries, all of us. Now, here's something, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Now, I'm conservative defending Donald Trump. Do you know, realize that almost every Trump official I've had on this show says outright, though they were Democrats. They've run as Democrats for office, and Trump has, his policies are more Democratic Party than they are conservative. Well, what? What kind of Democrat? We're talking old-time Democrat when they actually gave a damn about the country, when they were patriotic, when it wasn't about, you know, just Republicans against Democrats. They represented different sections of society, and it's a good thing. And Donald Trump is doing a great job representing the working man. He's taken the Republican Party and made it the working man's party, which is something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. And as a Republican, yeah, as a conservative, which is more to the point, you know, if you're going Republican, Democrat, I'm conservative. That's what I am. So wherever that sits, that's where I'm good with. I see Donald Trump's vision, even when painted that way, as a great thing. It's a great thing. The Democratic Party today, unfortunately, sees 1930s, 1940s Italy as a good thing. I'm George Elias, and this is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening.